The January 9th reference was to a callback from Ritz. McCaleb had probably called and left a message, and the Vegas detective had called back, listened to his pitch and maybe his profile, and had said not interested. This was not surprising. The FBI was often unwanted by the locals. The clash of egos between feds and locals was a routine part of the job. A retired bureau man would likely be treated no differently. Terry McCaleb was persona non grata. That might have been it for this file in this case, but then came the February 2nd notation, a name and a number. I opened my cell phone and called the number, not caring about how late it was, or early, depending on how you looked at it. I got a recording of a female voice. "This is Cindy Hinton at the Las Vegas Sun. I can't take your call right now, but it is important to me. Please leave your name and number, and I will call you back as soon as I can. Thank you." There was a beep, and I hesitated, not sure I wanted to make contact yet. But I went ahead anyway. Yes, hello, my name is Harry Bosch. I'm an investigator from Los Angeles and would like to talk to you about Terry McCaleb." I left my cell phone number and closed the phone, still not sure I had made the right move, but thinking that leaving it short and cryptic was the best way to go. It might get her to call me back. The last reference in the notes was the most intriguing of all. McCaleb had written Zizek's and then asked if it was possible, and if so, how. This had to be a reference to Zizek's Road. This was a leap, a giant leap. McCaleb had received photos from someone who had watched and photographed his family. That same person had taken photographs at Zizek's Road near the California-Nevada border. Somehow, McCaleb saw a possible link and was asking himself if one mystery could be related to the other. Could he have set something in motion by calling Vegas Metro and offering to help with the missing men case? To be able to make the leap to such questions was impossible. It meant I was missing something. I was missing the bridge, the piece of information that made the jump possible. McCaleb had to have known something that wasn't noted in the file, but that made the possibility of a link seem real to him. The last notations to check were the two Las Vegas phone numbers written on the border of the file, along with the name William Bing. I opened my cell again and called the first number. The call was picked up by a recorded voice announcing that I had reached the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino. I hung up as the voice began to list a number of options I could choose from. The second number was followed by the name. I punched it into the phone, prepared to awaken William Bing and ask him what his connection to Terry McCaleb was. But the call was answered after several rings by a woman who said, "Las Vegas Memorial Medical Center, how would you like me to direct your call?" I wasn't expecting that. To gain some time while I thought about what to do, I asked her for the hospital's location. By the time she was finished giving me the address on Blue Diamond Road, I had come up with a valid question. "Do you have a doctor on staff named William Bing?" After a moment, the answer came back negative. "Do you have any employee named William Bing?"
"No, we don't, sir."
"How about a patient?" There was another pause as she consulted a computer.
"Not currently, no."
"Did you formerly have a patient there named William Bing?"
"I don't have access to that kind of information, sir."
I thanked her and closed the phone.